Welcome to Regenerated Radio. This podcast exists to examine theology, history, and current events from a particular Baptist point of view. Our prayer is that this show is edifying to you and honoring to our God. Thanks for joining in. Welcome to Regenerated Radio, Season 4, Episode 1. We are titling this episode, We're So Back. We were just counting up the days, actually, and it's been since April 6th of last year that we had a proper episode of Regenerated Radio. And I've had several of you drop a line to ask me, where have you been or what are you doing? Many of you know a lot of my life circumstances just from following me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, and you know other various places on social media. So a lot of you guys know what I've been up to and why it's been a little bit too busy for me to commit to jumping back into podcasts. But I think the time has cleared itself out enough now to where I'm able to dedicate a little bit more time to getting back to this. And I'm really excited to do it because it's been a really fun resource for me. I grew a lot over the last three seasons of Regenerated Radio, learned a lot from a lot of different people and from all various places on the theological spectrum. And it's been such a wonderful blessing to me to be able to do this. And so I wanted to bring it back. And in order to bring it back, one of the things that I really wanted to do was to make sure that it wasn't all reliant upon me all the time. And so if you guys looked back on my YouTube channel at any point recently, I don't think it was actually on Spotify, but it's on the YouTube channel talking about how I was looking for potentially bringing in a second person, a co-host, to kind of take on some of the load of this. And I have found that person. I'm very excited to introduce you to them today. So I'm going to bring them onto the screen. Welcome, Wesley Russell. Everyone give him a round of applause.
What's up? Wesley Russell. Clap, fake clap.
It's good to see you, man. I'm glad to have you on today.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Well, it only took me since April 6th to wrangle you into let me do this. So
true.
It only took a year and a half to twist your arm and be like, let me on the screen.
So. No, it was fine. I was actually willing. As soon as you reached out, we had a pretty good rapport early on, I think. And so it was good. I remember we had a conversation. It was like a 2-hour long Zoom call.
Yeah.
I remember just going through all sorts of different stuff. And it was a good chat. And I really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit more through that. And then since then, I mean, really, it's been a year of just kind of growing in our friendship. And I think that that's probably been good, actually. It's been good that we've been able to grow a little bit, as we'll talk about here during this episode, kind of the way that our views have sort of aligned on things. But we'll get to that in a minute. Before we do that, I'd actually really like to just take the chance for a minute to introduce myself again, actually, since it's been a while and some of you guys will be new viewers. I'd like to kind of introduce myself, and then I want Wes to be able to introduce himself as well, talk about himself a little bit so that you guys know who we are, what this program is really going to be for and about, and I think that'll be helpful. So let me begin, if I can remember how this thing works. I don't know if I can or not. There we go. So if you don't know me, then my name is Greg Kite. I'm a pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Wamego, Kansas. And I've been there for about a little over a year, about 14 months. I started in October of 2022. Yeah. And it's been a wonderful time being here and being in full-time ministry for the first time. I was a lay elder at Covenant Baptist Church when I started this program in 2021. And that was a good place for me to grow spiritually and begin seminary and do a lot of that work. And then that just naturally transitioned to full-time ministry here in Kansas, of all places. You would never have been able to convince me that I'd be living in Kansas even a couple of years ago. But the hand of God has moved me and my family up here, and we've been really enjoying our time ministering to the people here in Wamego. A little bit more about me in a previous life, as in a couple of years ago. I was an educator in the public education system. Well, that was for about 8 years, and then I moved into a technology role there, which kind of helped me to grow in my skills to be able to do something like this. And so that's a lot of my background. Really, my whole professional career was in education, which really helped a lot whenever you go into ministry and you're doing a lot of educating in a lot of ways. So that's most of my background. I'm a tech guy. It's kind of my hobbies, and I enjoy those sorts of things. That's pretty much all you need to know about me in a nutshell. So let me hand the floor over to Wes.
Yeah, I'm not as cool as Greg is. I just I pastor Emmanuel Baptist Church. And kind of like Greg, I haven't been here that long. We're coming up on 2 years in March that we moved back down here. But very similar to you, Greg, I grew up, you grew up in Texas, correct?
Yes.
I grew up in a rural area. Not that Kansas isn't a rural area, but I grew up in the hills of Eastern Kentucky, where my church is now, Emmanuel Baptist in Pikeville. And I grew up in the mountains, and I married a Midwest girl in Omaha. So I've pretty much pastored in this area for, it'll be 10 years in April that I've pastored in Eastern Kentucky, minus the year and a half that I took off to go figure out how to be a husband, and never figured it out. So I just gave up and moved back. But yeah, so I also moved to the Midwest for a little while. Hopefully you'll be in the Midwest longer than I was in the Midwest. But yeah, so I pastor here in Eastern Kentucky, and I spent some time in Harlan County, Bloody Harlan. If you've ever watched the show Justified, that's where that show took place. I pastored there for the better part of a decade. And then I was at a church very, very short time in Casey County, Kentucky. Took some time off after that. And now I've been here for 2 years. I'm not a very techie guy. I was raised on a tobacco farm, and that's kind of the way my brain works. But just in place of technology and things like that, I spent my time doing metal fab stuff and making knives. That's what I was working on this morning before I went into church. Knives, love hunting. I like fishing. I'm just not very good at fishing, so I end up not liking it very much. But just as they would say, just a good old Kentucky boy. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, I mean, personally, especially now that I'm here, I mean, I grew up in Metro Houston, so it's,
oh,
it's
okay, yeah.
I'm a big city boy. It's not like I grew up in Texas. People think, oh, you know, rode horses to Texas, school or whatever.
Texans are like, you could live in downtown Houston, but when push comes to shove, all of you guys are going to throw your Texas weight around. Be like, well, I'm from Texas. All right. So everything.
It's true.
It's like, man, I have friends who live in Texas. They live in like Fort Worth area. And then actually some of them live, is that considered a panhandle? The big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The Amarillo and the panhandle. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They live in the panhandle. And no matter what, you don't tread lightly when you're talking about Texas.
It's true. So. If nothing else, our ego matches the size of the state.
Hey, so. You said it, man.
But yeah, I mean, I grew up in the metro, so I'm always thinking it's pretty cool whenever I see things like, you know, you guys who are into, you know, metal fab and hunting and fishing, and these are things, hunting and fishing are things that I kind of need to now in my current pastoral context, like start to figure out a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause I can go out there with my congregants and stuff. But
do you guys have like a lot of outdoorsy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the Midwest. So Omaha, I think, is up to 1.2 million people. And there's never a time when I was in Omaha where I felt like I was in a big city. Like the people are very small towny people. It's a very small town feeling big city. And I think most places, Kansas City, Wichita, Omaha, all the big Midwest cities, they don't really have like a huge metro feeling, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. I actually really enjoy going into Kansas City because it doesn't feel, I mean, you're going in and you get all the amenities, but it doesn't feel like driving into Houston, which was miserable. But
how far
anyway,
is Kansas City?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. It's not bad.
It's not too far at all. Yeah. And so we go there. We go there bimonthly to make a Costco trip. And then,
and then we try to tack on something for us. It's about 2.5 hours to Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And that's our Costco trip. Like we load up when we're there.
Nice. Yeah. Well, just to get you guys back into the groove of things, I want to give this episode really is a little bit more informal. We're not really meaning to do a whole theological discussion, although there will be a little bit of that later on as we continue to talk here. But I wanted to give you guys a quick rundown of what Regenerated Radio is sort of transitioning to, what it's going to look like, because in the past, it's been mostly just me grabbing theologians and biblical scholars to ask them about whatever's on my mind, covenant theology. I've talked about eschatology with Sam Waldron. We've talked about typology and allegory with Mitch Chase. I've had other episodes like Eric Reed came on to talk about how to build trust in God. And I mean, all sort and various trials. It's been a very good and eclectic sort of program, but it's mostly been interviews and special topics in that way. So as we come to now have Wes on here as well, where we can spend a little bit more time going back and forth and having a dialogue. And that was really my goal. I even mentioned that in my update video that I wanted it to be. I wanted to continue to have those interviews, and we will continue to have those, of course. But I wanted to be able to dialogue with somebody and kind of go back and forth rather than just me asking questions and receiving answers and then passing that on. And that was beneficial for the time. And I think it's still going to be beneficial as we continue to do it. But I wanted to have that chance to have a bit of a dialectic. So we're going to be able to do that a little bit more. And so we'll do different things like covering current events within Christian circles, stuff within regarding the Southern Baptist Convention. Both of our churches are SBC churches, and we're both somewhat tuned in, I would say, maybe more than a lot of pastors, to what's going on broadly within the SBC. So I think that's going to be helpful for us to have those conversations and just have a platform to be able to say, hey, this is good, this is bad, this is where we need course corrections. So that'll be good. Discussions on ethics and things like that. Both of us are abolitionists in a big way. So I'm sure we'll have conversations about things like abolition and other topics that we need to think biblically about. Biblical exposition. Again, we're both pastors. We're both passionate about exegeting the word. And so that'll be time. There'll be times where we just go through passages of scripture, I imagine. So some of these things may or may not have payoff throughout the rest of this season. We haven't actually planned out necessarily what the entire season is going to look like. But I'm sure most of these things will be hit on in some way or another. So that's the goal. What do you think, Wes? Does that sound like a fun plan?
Yeah. Basically just, I really always appreciated the way that you have done Regenerated Radio, just because it's when it was up and running, you were super consistent. There were no filler episodes. Like if we're going to talk about like reality TV and all that stuff, there was no filler episodes. You never felt like you're watching a show with a writer's strike going on. yeah. But the one frustrating thing for you and I, like, you guys can go pull up receipts on Twitter. Just type my Twitter name in and the word podcast, and you will see me saying I will never have a podcast. Like, and I'm pretty sure there's a tweet out there that says someone like chop my legs off if I ever start a podcast. So, all right, if you're bold enough, I deserve it. I said it.
You know where his church is. You can go find it.
Yeah. But I guess from the outside looking in, now that I've had to like plan this and be on here and all that stuff, it can kind of be frustrating, or it seems like it would be frustrating just having to be the one guy who has to get people, schedule people consistently. Because like I said, it wasn't like you were just filling time with, right, hey, here's Dale Smith, pastor of Baptist Church in freelance middle of nowhere. You have no clue who he is. Yeah. He's not passionate about anything, but we're just going to chit chat with him about good old times. So I could see how that could be super frustrating for you. And, I'm blessed that you are up to letting me come on and be that guy, but there's so many similarities that me and you have that I think that people will enjoy having me on here, but there's also things that we like militantly disagree on.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I think that one of the things that I've respected you for is the fact that your circle is like a tight circle, but it's an eclectic bunch of people. And that has been a blessing to me as someone who maybe in the past 3 or 4 years hasn't been that way. And my circle has broadened up. And I hope that because me and you are that way with each other, where we have so many similarities, but also tons of stuff we disagree on. I hope that bleeds into the show, yeah, where it's not going to just be the guests that like one person can only come up with so many guests.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I was running out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it was like, it's just, I think that all those discussion topics, especially and things like that, SBC stuff, me and you, our conversation, like that 2-hour conversation you were talking about, was on the week before the SBC, where we thought that we were going to be meeting each other.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that, but we thought we were going to be meeting each other. Like, hey, well, when we get to Anaheim, we could just talk about this more. Then your family ended up getting sick and you couldn't come.
Yep.
But that entire conversation was about all those things. That 2-hour conversation was current events in Christian circles. It was SBC stuff, ethics, biblical exposition. It was 1689 talk. So yeah. I imagine that that 2 hour conversation will just bleed out into the show.
Yeah. And that was the goal, right? Like there were several people who approached me and were like, hey, I'd be interested in having that conversation, or like, you know, maybe jumping on the show with you.
And now they're watching and they're like, what?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, sorry. Wow. It's no offense meant to anybody, but you know, when you're doing something like this and you're trying to have a fairly consistent upload schedule, and you're having conversations with somebody over and over again, it really does need to be somebody who you have a good rapport with, that you know that you can go back and forth with, that you can tell that in conversation. I think I even mentioned this in my update video. I'd have to go back and watch it. It's been a while, but there needs to be an understanding of simple things like when do I stop talking and let the other person talk? when do I pose a question to somebody? How does you know, transitions work within these things? And this seems like silly things, but if you wanted a decent quality show, you need to be able to have those. And so, and even just for content's sake, I need to be able to bounce ideas back and forth off of somebody, and they actually engage with those ideas rather than just saying yes and moving on. There's things like that I know you'll do. And so I've really appreciated our conversations with that. So I think it's
good. Yeah. See, my problem is the opposite. My problem is, when is it okay to talk over someone?
Yeah.
When is it not okay to talk over someone? Right.
Yeah. You have to kind of like just go for it and hope that it works. But that's the thing too. Like that actually, different personalities do that well. I think you and I do that fairly well, where we're able to if you jump in, I'm going to stop and step back, and vice versa.
Well, so. I don't know. It's just the flow of podcasts can be make or break. I mean,
yeah.
There's podcasts that I listen to that I really actually enjoy listening to them, but it's hard to listen to. Like it's fatiguing. Mm-hmm. But I love what they're talking about. I love the people on them. I love the people they have on them. But it's either I can't watch them or I can't listen to them because of some extraordinary reason. And then there's some shows that talk about absolutely nothing. And maybe I'll stand before God for idle hands and just using my time vainly because of it. But I just want to listen to them talk about nothing, you know? So it could be make or break, and we have no clue if it's going to be good or not. But I can tell you that it's either going to be a lot better than this first episode, or it's going to just continue to spiral out of control and get a lot worse. So.
And you know what? Whatever the Lord wills, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's for the glory of God, this podcast can spiral into oblivion. That's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man.
Well, let's shift then gears a little bit, because I wanted to ask you. And I'm actually interested in this because obviously I know what I thought about you, but I'm interested to hear what your perception of me was before we first met, or like as we first met, and maybe we'll talk about how that shifted. But
yeah,
and I'll answer. I'll do the opposite and answer for you in a minute. But go ahead.
Yeah, I thought you were just like another 55-year-old podcaster, bro. I mean, I really did. I thought, okay, you know,
these grays from passing. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you.
Well, no, so. We were following back in my heyday when I was still decorated dust before Elon gave me the boot. it's decorated dust still exists. I just don't have access to it. But yeah. Back in the day when I was decorated dust, and I used to be obsessed with my follower to following ratio. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and confess it. Like, I used to be like, oh, I want this big ratio. Mm-hmm. And as the days go on, I'll see like some homemaking or like homestead Twitter that tweets like two times a year. And I'm like, oh, I need to follow them. I need to follow these people. So, but back in those days, you had followed me. I assume it was SBC stuff, or I assume that it was something to do with theology, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you had followed me. I don't know when. I don't think it was very long, because you were pretty regularly interacting with my tweets, whether it was disagreeing with them, agreeing with them, favorite, whatever it was.
I was overactive on Twitter in that time because I was just sitting at a desk all day. Oh, yeah, so I was always on.
Yeah, I was not. At that time, I was still bivocational. So I was welding 12 hours a day. And then whenever I could get on Twitter, was just like trying to, I had 12 hours a day sitting there melting metal together to think of the most theologically profound jokes in the world. So I was just,
yeah.
But I remember seeing you, and then I remember seeing it Regenerated Radio. And my first thought, without ever looking at your picture, without ever looking at your profile, was I clicked it. I saw that you had a pretty good following, like a pretty decent following. And then I thought, oh, this is just another one of those middle-aged podcasters. So, but I followed you back.
That's true, to be fair.
Yeah. So I followed you back. And it was probably a year and a half before I ever watched the show. Well, maybe not a year and a half. It couldn't have been that long. Probably 6 months to a year before I ever watched the show. And then I was looking up, I can't remember what topic it was, but I was looking up some topics and the show came on. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I think I follow this guy on Twitter. And I did. I realized that you weren't middle-aged, like you weren't in your 50s or 60s. And I realized that there was like some people who I love to read after, I love to interact with, people who it seemed like you were friends with and that I was friends with as well. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. So you watch a few episodes, you just wait, and, you know, you kind of forget about it, fizzles out. And then in 2022, I remembered it and we had become pretty familiar with each other on Twitter.
Yeah.
As far as just replying to each other and replying towards the same people, had some mutual friends. I was like, I'm going to just look up what he's been doing. And I just started binge watching the show because it was people like Carl Truman and it was people like Renahan and it was people like Sam Waldron. And it was just fantastic. You know, I'm a post mill guy. My church is full of all millennials. The people who planted my church in the 40s and 50s were all millennials, and they were, you know, they made it out of that initial all millennials are liberals. And, you know, they made it out of that push in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of familiarize myself more with all millennialism. Sam Waldron, I don't know if there's a person better at articulating your all's, you know, eschatology. I don't know if there is. So I was listening to that episode and I was like, man, this is a good, like amazing episode. And then I started running into your expositions on 1689. I was like, well, this is amazing. Cause that's what we've been doing Keach's Catechism, which is more or less built off of 1689 at church on Wednesday evening. So, it just worked out to where I reached out to you and I had not seen the co-host video yet. That was the amazing thing. Mm-hmm. I had not seen the co-host video and I reached out to you. I was like, hey, if you ever want someone to go through the 1689 with, I'd love to do it. And it was kind of like, I can't stand when people beg for a platform.
Yeah.
And I really can't even stand when people ask for a platform, but it was just one of those things where I felt comfortable enough with you to send you a text message and be like, hey, if you ever want some help with this, man, I would love to do this. It'd be fun. And then we had a 2-hour phone conversation and then nothing happened for a year and a half.
And here we are. Yeah.
But that was my first perception of you, Greg, was this is just another podcaster. Like there's a million of them out here, except for this wasn't just another podcast. It really was similar to a radio show to where you sat down with someone and engaged with them and you were on social media engaging with your, so my first perception of you was like kind of cringe, like, oh, here's another guy who just thinks that he needs to be heard. But it was the opposite, man. And that's what I love about this, was this wasn't about, well, I need to be heard. This was, there's a lot of other people out here who need to be heard.
Yeah And what's funny is that I initially started the podcast and it really was kind of cringe, even the whole reasoning, because it was 2021, you know, we're in the, coming out of, well, sort of coming out of COVID at that time.
Yeah.
People had been really engaging online in new ways and had really kind of bolstered their online presences in a lot of ways. And Christians were having conversations about what that needed to look like. And so I thought, well, let me start a podcast about that. And so my initial, I mean, if you go back to the very beginning, I interviewed my father-in-law talking about like whether a Christian should play games together, like play video games. And then it moved into digital conversations. Had Chris Bolt on, I think was my second, you know, we're both friends with Chris. I had him on for my second one talking about apologetics. And it was funny because it went from like this first episode, which was I mean, it was good content, but the concept behind it was kind of weird and maybe cringe. And then immediately got Chris Bolton to come in, and we started talking about digital apologetics and like, what does it look like? And really that whole episode was just like an overview of apologetic systems, which is, I realized was just incredibly dense for the audience that I had sort of targeted at the time, but that helped me realize, oh, this is what I want to do. And so I moved into that and then went from that first initial vision to getting, you know, Dustin Benjon and you had Carl Truman, which those things still were talking about, like, what does it look like to be a Christian in this digital sort of age?
Yeah.
But then over time it just progressed to being, a radio show where I was trying to interview the people who were discussing things that were on my heart theologically in particular. And so it worked out really well. And I think that the radio aspect of it, it ended up being a much more apt name than I just was going for alliteration at first, if we're being honest. Like, it wasn't, I'm going to interview people, so I'm going to call it a radio show. No, it was just regenerated and then radio and it worked together. For the people who really want to know how much of a nerd I am, regenerated is like my screen tag for most any sort of gaming platform or anything really, where you have to come up with something like that. So that's where all that spawned. So it was kind of cringe, to be honest with you, at first. I am just a middle-aged podcaster, but I'm blessed to see
another one.
There you go. And I'm blessed to see what the Lord has done through it. And I do think it's been a good resource. And really, I think the reason for that is that it was not so much, at least it became not so much something that I just wanted to have a platform to say things. It was, okay, I think this can be a good resource for others, but more importantly for myself. Like, I was really making the episodes for me, not for other people.
Well, we were texting about this the other day about how important it is for even us as pastors to remember that our audience, or we should try to glean from pastors way more than we should lay people or political figures or whoever it is. Like, for me, like 10 people can say the same thing, and when the pastor says it, it's going to click for me, at least. And I want my church members, and I want every church member to kind of think that way. And I think that's what I mean by, I thought you were just another podcaster. I didn't know you were pastoring. I didn't know that you were an elder at that point. And I literally thought this is just another guy on Twitter who just thinks his voice needs to be heard, which is very easy for us to do on Twitter. It's just, we need to be heard. And then when I started like actually learning who you are, talking to you and things like that, it kind of clicked like, oh, this dude, he's not that type of guy. Matter of fact, you do very little speaking. And I think that you're going to have problems having me on here because you're so driven to just ask questions and throw them out there.
Yeah.
And I'm so driven to just talk.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Here's the thing though. What was your first perception of me? Because I am very interested in that.
Well, I don't know. We're going to talk about this in a minute a little bit too, that both of our views started in places and we've kind of gradually shifted to where we're much more aligned on a lot of things. But at first, you were maybe welding for 12 hours a day, thinking of takes on like theonomy and things, like, I know you've changed a little bit in that. And so like you came off to me on Twitter as like, well, here's the rabid post-mill theonomist guy. And I don't even think that was necessarily true of you at the time. It was just kind of the way that I perceived you, but I wanted to follow you anyway. Cause again, I really always have tried to hold an eclectic group of friends. I have a lot of people in different circles so that I can pull from them whenever I needed to. And like learn from them and say, okay, well, this is why you think this. And maybe that's actually the more biblical thing. And that's been a benefit to me because I really have grown in a lot of ways from having different people. But it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, this is a guy who I'm going to be able to get a lot of takes off of for understanding postmillennialism, maybe even like to the Reconstruction idea. I don't know. I had associated you with people who you're not even – today we've talked about it and I know you're not in any way associated with any of those people. And so that's why it's like, oh, well, I had the wrong perception of you, I think, in a big way. But also I think part of that is that we've moved gradually together on our views somewhat. So I had followed you at the time and I remember seeing some views or some tweets. Maybe it was on postmillennialism in general and it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't know any post-millennialists really. And I really don't. Although Tony, now at the church here, he's a post-mill guy, surprisingly. And then a few other guys who I've come to know since then, but I just didn't know too many at the time. And so I wanted to try to understand a little bit more. And that's why I followed you initially. And then I think just kind of grew closer together after that. It's been good.
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't think I would have ever considered myself a Reconstructionist.
Yeah. You know?
But that just goes to show you the power of the internet.
Exactly.
Perceptions. Paint pictures that aren't true. And, and here's the thing. I'm not blaming the internet. I'm blaming myself. I use the internet to paint a picture, you know, and we all do it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I was definitely a theonomist. I was never a Reconstructionist theonomist. Yeah. I have since 2017, 2016, somewhere in that time, I've always considered myself a 1689 guy. I considered myself a 1689 Federalist. Mm-hmm. But that had to be, it had to be so loose that I was.
Yeah, that was really early on in the term, even like existing, honestly.
Yeah. So I would have considered myself, I didn't know the terminology. I would have considered myself, though, a loose John Owen-esque covenant theology guy. Yeah. Esque. You know what I mean? Like, but I hadn't had the resources, and up to that point, I really didn't have the people around me. I was in Eastern Kentucky. You know, I was preaching at a church who is classical Arminian, dispensationalist, honestly, the most loving group of people ever. You know, mm-hmm. they hired me as their pastor at 19. I mean, the patience that you have to do that. And as many disagreements as we had, I mean, they were the best first church to spend 6-7 years with ever. Mm-hmm. Just being like, well, we think you're crazy, but I mean, if you preach the Bible, you know, we'll figure out our differences. And hey,
that's a good lesson for everyone.
Yeah. So I was definitely never a Reconstructionist. I'm sure I came across that.
Well, and during that time too was a period where I was still learning a lot about how all that worked. I mean, this was 2020, you know, and I'm starting to like, during the craziness and everyone's trying to figure out like, well, what do we do as Christians, as pastors, you know, as just a fresh elder in 2020, trying to figure out and navigate like, well, what do we do now with all of these mandates and things that are going on? So, that was like throwing me into a spiral of trying to figure out, well, okay, how does this work? Cause no one trained us on those things. No one growing up in SBC churches, political theology wasn't a thing. It wasn't taught at all. And so no one really had a whole firm grasp on it. And still to this day, I think that's a problem. So,
yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons that I brought up that I don't even think I would have ever considered myself a Reconstructionist is because there was a time period where I think I was pretty close, though, you know, and I think that's when me and you kind of met online, was when I was close to that. But see, I was looking from the outside. I was looking from the outside thinking, oh, Greg's one of those radical Two Kingdom guys. Yes. when I say R2K, I mean Reformed Two Kingdom, contrasted with Classical Two Kingdom. But I don't mean it as a pejorative, you know, I mean it as a difference of Classical Two Kingdom. But I looked at you as like, oh my gosh, this is one of those guys who's an R2K guy. This guy has insane political theology, probably. Me and you never talked about it, though. I just assumed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a very similar way, I don't know if I would have ever considered or called myself a Reconstructionist, but I was certainly saying things and throwing things out there that Greg Kite's not the only person who thought that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It is funny to see how perceptions work, because I mean, obviously, both of us have, I mean, I'm sure some of our views have shifted a little bit as well, but even then, like, that was not an accurate perception of you. It wasn't an accurate perception of me. Yeah. It's just, it's weird how Twitter, and this is just another one of those warnings that I think we need to take here, is that like X X. I can't call it X. I'm sorry. I tried to every once in a while. I can't do it, man. It doesn't work.
I can't do it, man. Hey, the other day when Jeff texted, he was like, "Oh, I'm Jeff on X." I was like, "What are you doing, man?"
Don't call it X.
Don't do it, man. It's Twitter.
Yeah. I know. Anyway, that's just a good lesson, though. Like, you can't base your opinion on somebody or even think that you understand somebody's views based on what they've said in a platform that only allows you so many characters. I know they're changing that or whatever, but no one uses it. So,
To your point, I mean, I would have called myself a theonomist.
Sure.
You know, and I would have tried to qualify by saying, well, I'm a general equity theonomist.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really do enjoy the 1689, and I personally hold to it. But it just goes to show you that you can say, well, I'm this, and it's very easy for someone else to come along and say, well, everyone else who's that is also these things.
Right. Yeah.
So they must be the same as well.
We just dump people into buckets and leave them there and think that that's where they are, but it's not, it doesn't work that way for anyone really.
Yeah. And let's be honest. If you don't, some people would probably consider you squishy, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
If you're willing to sit down and kind of nuance, or not nuance, but if you're willing to sit down and hear people nuancing their position, a lot of people would say, well, they're squishy and they shouldn't be, you know, they're just concaving. And it's like, well, no, you know, the Lord deals with us individually. Therefore, I want to deal with people individually as well.
Yeah, we believe in the freedom of conscience, and we believe in Christian liberty, and that God works in individuals and in individual ways. And yeah, I think it's been really helpful to have those different, I don't know, the people in those different categories. I don't want to call them buckets because I'm not dropping them in there, but just to be able to learn from them and to help them to kind of grow by understanding people's arguments for what they're actually saying. And you're right. Like I feel like people look at me sometimes as, well, you know, he's not going to stand for anything. And that's not really true. I've been pretty upfront on a lot of things. But like, if I associate with these people over here, then these people over here are going to think that, well, you're like you said, squishy. I don't think that's squishiness. You know, I'd find that to be, I don't always like the word Catholicity, but you know, it is helpful for us to recognize that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to give each other the benefit of the doubt. And that's been good for me over the years, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, you fast forward to now, me and you are pretty close.
Yeah.
Very close. Like, you know, I jokingly call myself an Askelite, you know, Tom Askell.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I believe that things like Founders and people like Tom have really helped me come back down to earth and kind of settle some of these inconsistencies in my theology, which has led me and you to be very good friends. Like, honestly, because we probably weren't as far away as we thought we were.
Sure, yeah.
But we are definitely way closer now in our theology, our political theology, probably closer in our eschatology than we would realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In our view on ecclesiology, confessionally, we are very probably separated by some nuances, you know, we would probably want to nuance a couple of different things along the way, but... And that bleeds into, you talk about having Chris Bolt on here. That bleeds on to, I was like a raging presuppositionalist.
Yeah.
When we met. Like, I mean, I was just like, people would be like, this is a great tweet. And I'd be like, well, by what standard? You know, according to whose tweets, you know? Yeah. And, but no. And, I, you know, you have been very helpful for me, you know, just being able to hear about classical theism, understand it better. And now I'm the weirdest guy in the world because I really don't consider myself classical guy. I don't consider myself presuppositional.
Yeah, me either, actually.
You know, and it really was just me and you, even in Wichita earlier this year, ministering together on the same streets, being able to listen to you, being able to see videos of each other, recognizing we have the same approach. Mm-hmm. How in the world do I consider myself presuppositionalist? And, you know, and you lean so far or so deeply into that classical heritage, as I call it. And we're saying the same things. We're appealing to the same God. We're, you know, doing it in the same words. And it was just, so now fast forward, I don't know about you, but there's very few people who I would consider closer to my theology than you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you too. You mentioned Tom Askell and Founders. I think I'm on record on Twitter or somewhere saying something similar to this, where it's basically like, I don't think there's anyone, like any public theologian figure that I'm more closely aligned with than Tom Askell.
Yeah.
That's probably the case. I couldn't imagine anyone else. And it's one of those things where like, oh, he says things. And, oh yeah, that resonates. That's pretty much what I was thinking. And he's done such a good job. And we're, you know, I'm sure I speak for both of us saying that we're really grateful for Founders Ministries and Founders Press and some of the books and materials they've put out, because they help to pull, maybe pull away from some of the temptations that you can have whenever you're in certain, you know, conservative theological circles. You can kind of pull back from some of those where they step too far. But also just hold the line steadfastly on the things that need, you know, on scripture and on the word, what needs to be held.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys, I think there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of members of SBC churches who have been kept afloat by the Lord using those folks. And it's not just Tom Askell. I mean, you want to talk about Tom Hicks, Tom Nettles, you know, all the Toms, you know, I mean, just Tom, whatever, it seems like that. But I mean, very seriously, you know, now they have the Institute of Public Theology, or I can't remember what it's called, but
yeah, that's right.
But, you know, and I didn't bring them up, and I don't think you did either, just to brag on them. But the reason I bring them up is they have taught many of us how to think about things.
Right. Yeah.
Like not just what to believe, but how to think about these things. And you can just listen to The Sword and the Trial with Tom Askell and Graham. And you can just listen to Tom, who you think has everything figured out, sometimes say, you know, I'm not quite sure what to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you there's a reason that Founders has been afloat and thriving for so long.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that they think about things. They don't just react. They're not always on the offense. They're not always on the defense. They just do a very good job of saying, hey, be a critical thinker.
Yeah, just for sure.
Think critically about all these things. So, but yeah.
At the end of the day, I think that, I mean, I had a whole list here of things that we could talk about. I don't think we need to go through each one of them individually. We're kind of hitting the top of the time that I want to spend on a single episode. That's one of the things. We've been doing an hour long episodes, and I'm trying to bring that down a little bit just for preference sake, down to around 45 to 50 minutes instead. So we'll see how that goes. But I had a whole list of things we could talk about through here, from classical theism, which you mentioned a little bit, covenant theology, political theology. We've kind of touched on all these things in some way or another. And I think that's really been helpful. And this is the kind of conversation, like this is a good dialogue. That's really what I wanted from having a co-host here. So this is good. And I think that just to kind of wrap up a little bit with some of those thoughts, really ultimately what the way this conversation is going is we've just wanted to warn against that idea of putting people into buckets and open up people to the idea of learning from people who are different from you. I mean, I know guys who are really good, solid Christians and people that I pull from all the time, and they can't stand like anything that, you know, you mentioned Tom Hicks's takes on certain things.
Yeah.
Or Pat Abendroth is a guy that I've grown to be really close with, because he's up close in Omaha. And I know that, you know, I disagree with him on a lot of things, but I've also grown from him on a lot of things. And, you know, we disagree pretty vehemently on covenant theology. And I didn't know that until he wrote his book on covenant theology, but still love the guy. And, you know, other people like that as well. And it's easy to push people away because you disagree with them. It's a lot harder, but it's a lot more beneficial to embrace somebody as a brother in Christ and say, we disagree here, but we can learn from one another and sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. So,
yeah. And here's the thing, you know, I don't know how many people you added into that group chat the other day.
Yeah.
Probably what, eight? Probably.
Yeah, I think it's 8 or 9. Yeah.
And it was crazy because like literally people were up, they were like, oh, this is who I am. You know, this is, you know, nobody knew any of each other's numbers in there. And they're like, oh, I'm such and such, I'm such and such, I'm such and such. And it was funny because these people are all your friends. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm such and such. Oh, hey, I'm such and such. We jumped all over your case on Twitter. Sorry about
exactly.
that. And it was like, oh, this is such and such. And I hope Pat watches this because, like, I have gone back and forth with Pat on Twitter and, like, just been spoke very plainly to him. Like, mm-hmm. and I even said, oh, I see an Omaha number. And Greg privately messaged me. It's like, that's Pat Avendroth. I said, I know. Like, I love that that text message group could have been an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it wasn't. It really wasn't. And
that's good. That's the goal, right? We want unity yeah. in the church as much as possible. We're going to have our divisions. We're Baptists. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We can divide over some of those things.
Yeah.
But we need to have unity as the universal church, as the bride of Christ.
Yeah. And the only reason I brought that up is not to dox that group. The reason I brought that up is I hope that's what this show can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, some of the people that I know and some of the people, you know, when we drag them on this show, people are going to be like, well, I didn't think that Greg
yeah.
associated with this person, or I didn't think Wes would associate with this person. We might not.
Yeah.
We generally might not. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ.
Yep.
You know, it is. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll continue this conversation more as we go forward. And I don't know exactly what our next episode is going to be or even when it will be. We're going to try and drop this one the first week of the year. And then hopefully 2024 will be full of regenerated radio, which I'm excited about. And that's going to be something that, and I did want to mention this too. I'm really trying to make this, it's not just my thing that Wes is now a part of. No, I really want it to be our thing, which means that you might see Wes upload a video for the exposition of the 1689 and it just pops up there on YouTube and that's something that he does. Or we may need to think about social media and how to have a shared handle. I don't know. There's all sorts of things that we'll have to work through practically with that. But I just want, you know, other people to recognize that this is not Greg's thing now. It's
all mine. It's all I own this now. I paid Greg $5 for this show.
Not too far. That's more than it's worth, maybe. Anyway, so all that to say, to wrap up then, let's close out our conversation. I would like to ask you, what are you preaching on this coming Sunday? And yeah.
Are
you preaching this coming Sunday? Yeah. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we're going through the book of Romans. And so we're on Romans 1, you know.
Nice. Yeah, you guys are just getting started, aren't you? I'm sorry, yeah, Genesis. We're just getting started, which you've been going through, and it's been very helpful to me. So,
yeah. So, and I must be doing a terrible job because you're tagging me in commentary giveaways on the book of Romans. So, but no, we're Romans 1. I may get the verses wrong on this, but Romans 1, 18 through 23, I believe it is, wherever that paragraph ends. Mm-hmm. I know it's 18, but 18 through 23. And then that'll be on Sunday morning. And then we won't have Sunday evening services, mainly just because I'm going to Omaha for Christmas. So, yeah. And because of that, we're just not having Sunday evening services. We only have kids stuff on Sunday evenings right now. Anyways, but that's what Sunday looks like. So 10 a.m. I'll preach that and we'll head out and drop halfway to Omaha.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm preaching on John 1, 14 through 18. We're going to the incarnation. I've been doing this series on theophanies and incarnation, and it's been really, really good. I've really enjoyed it, and the Lord has grown me a lot through it, actually. And I'm hoping that they're growing. I know that the Spirit's working on the congregation as well. So
yeah,
that's been good, and I'm excited about that. And then, like I said, I'll start Genesis come January. I'm looking forward to it. Well, okay. One more thing to go through, a couple of quick things, actually, for social media stuff. You can find me at Regenerated Radio on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find Trinity Baptist Church on Facebook as well and on YouTube. I've been uploading a lot of shorts, like YouTube shorts. I'm going to probably scale back on that a little bit, but I still want to continue to do that some from the sermons. And so you can find, I think it's at TBC Wamigo is the link on YouTube. So you can find all that information there. Wes, did you talk about yourself and your church?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Wes Russ, WESRUSS, rest in peace, decorated dust.
Yeah.
And
sad.
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook at Wesley Russell. That's two S's and two L's and Russell. And then you can find my church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's Pikeville, Kentucky. It'd be a blue logo. We don't have YouTube right now. So we're stuck in the stone ages of Facebook Live. but yeah, so that's where you can find me. You can find me on Instagram at Westworks Media. I don't even have the app on my phone anymore. So
there's some pretty incredible pictures on there though. So you're more talented than you're giving yourself credit for.
Well, I appreciate it. But that's me on Instagram. And then my phone, I'm just joking. I'm not putting my phone number out here.
And your social security. No. All right. Well then, Wes, would you mind praying to close us out today?
Yeah. Let's pray, guys. Lord, we are so thankful for your mercy and your grace, the access we have to approach your throne. We're thankful for your son, Jesus. We're thankful that he mediates for us. We're thankful that he's reconciled us back to you, God. Lord, we're thankful for technology. We're thankful for media and even little insignificant things like podcasts. Lord, we know that the message of the gospel never changes, but there are just growing methods of sharing it and exhorting people with it. So Lord, we pray that me and Greg on this, for me, this new venture, and for Greg, somewhat of a new venture, adding me on to the show. Lord, we pray that it would glorify you. We pray that we can edify your church greatly through some extraordinary means of grace. And Lord, we pray that we would foster the attitude of your son, Jesus Christ, and that we would walk humbly, that we would fear you, Lord, that we would not count anything to be of equality with you, so to speak. We wouldn't count any talents we have, any qualities we have as being greater than or better than, Lord. But we just pray that we could, again, walk humbly by doing this show, that it could help people. And Lord, more than all, that it can glorify you. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Wes. And for the rest of you guys, we'll see you in the next episode. Have a good one.
See you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Regenerated Radio. We pray that it was helpful to you in some way, and may the Lord use it for his glory. If you have comments or feedback, feel free to reach out to regeneratedradio@gmail.com. We hope you have a blessed day.